Jackie Robinson told a Texas convention of Disciples of Christ just a few weeks ago that the job of correcting the racial situation in this country will not be done by, quote, Sunday go-to-meeting Christians, Monday morning quarterback Christians, or I don't want to get involved Christians, unquote. Mr. Robinson went on to say of solving the race problem, it will have to be done by dedicated Christians, Christians of understanding, creating goodwill for their fellow man. Men of goodwill ought to do more than read biblical texts and give Sunday school lessons to our children. Before we ask Mr. Robinson what he means by saying the church is a joke, here are our phone numbers, and we urge your questions, your comments, and, of course, your conversation. Nationally, from anywhere in the country where you're hearing Night Call, you may call us collect on area code 212-749-3311. Outside of New York, call us collect on area code 212-749-3311. Or locally, you may call us at 866-5010. That's in the New York area. You may phone us at 866-5010. Mr. Robinson, good evening.
Good evening.
Why do you say the church is a false joke to many black young people?
Well, because I think many of our young people, they are very much inclined not to go along with much of the things that have been said and are being done in the church today. They no longer believe that people are truly interested in them, and they don't get the same kinds of results and the same kinds of feelings that we got through the church many, many years ago. I think when we stress this, it's merely that we have so much confidence ourselves in the church and that we believe strongly and firmly in what it stands for, that it's a tragedy that not enough of our youngsters are going to the churches today and trying to find fulfillment there, as I think many young people did years ago. While there has been some arguments that there has not been a falling off from the church, I think that when we discuss this with the young people, there has been less discussion about the preachings of God than there was years ago.
There was a recent poll conducted by Mr. Gallup that showed that 53% of the people who are constant churchgoers felt that the church should keep out of social matters. How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't see how the church can do this at all. I think that, very frankly, the best possible chance that we have for peace and calm and for people to get a better understanding is first to really get a better understanding of ourselves. And the role of our minister in the black community especially has been of great value to the people, and therefore I can't see the church not participating, not being constantly involved in the everyday happenings of the ghetto community or any community. For if we do and are able to follow the practices and the preachings of God, I think we would really be a much better nation. So I would hope that the church and its followers not only continue but escalate their efforts because of their importance in the everyday structure.
Up until recently, there were many black people who had felt that the church actually had failed the black man. And now we notice that you, as well as Mr. Carmichael, are suggesting that the only hope there is the only hope there is in terms of human rights is for the church to get together. Now, what has been the cause for this sudden change?
Well, there hasn't been a sudden change, as far as I'm concerned, is that the church should be involved. But I think the fact that we have had so many difficulties here of late, so many problems, and I think the fact that more and more ministers are involving themselves in it and they are being very effective is one of the reasons why that you see more and more people talking about more involvement. I think that on the whole here of late, you've seen more and more of the different church denominations getting involved, not only on Sundays, but they are also involving themselves financially and they are getting memberships behind. And I think this is why that I think we're on our way to solving basically our problems. Naturally, I'm hopeful that through the church, our leadership in government truly understands their responsibilities as well. And we know very well the thinking of most people towards the ministers is that they should do everything they possibly can. And since there is such great influence, that this is the reason why that I believe that more and more of them are doing whatever they possibly can, even though they are catching many problems. in the community, just as you pointed out, that many of the youngsters don't really believe as they once did.
Is the church a joke? That's our topic tonight, and our guest is Mr. Jackie Robinson, who is calling in from Connecticut. And Mr. Robinson, we'll accept our first night call listener, Mr. Kaplan, who is hearing night call over WAME in Miami Beach, Florida. Welcome to night call, sir.
Mr. Robinson.
Yes, Mr. Kaplan.
First, let me say, I got many a thrill in watching you play with the Dodgers years ago.
You're very kind, thank you.
It's quite a thrill watching you. My question is, sir, on what basis, on what team would you compare Mr. Wilkins and Mr. Whitney against Mr. Brown and Mr. Carmichael, sir?
Well, there can be no real comparison between the two different people, Mr. Whitney Young and Mr. Roy Wilkins, are, I think, men responsible to great, great numbers of black people here in this country. Their following is such that they have responsible roles to play. I think all that Mr. Carmichael and Mr. Brown have been able to do is to stir up enough so that the people who are in responsible positions are taking more note of what the Roy Wilkins and the Whitney Youngs are able to accomplish. Therefore, I think that we have to acknowledge that even though we don't basically agree with the practices or the way they talk, Rap Brown and Stokely Carmichael have, given an opportunity to the moderate kinds of leadership to be able to express themselves more because they're being asked more. And I think this is only right, that the moderate leadership begins to be able to speak louder because they represent, in my view, great, great numbers more black people than do Stokely Carmichael and Rap Brown. So therefore, I can say this is a basic difference. It's what the people they represent as compared to the people that the others represent.
But don't you think there would be a little better communication if Mr. Brown and Mr. Carmichael would think along the lines of a Mr. Wilkins or a Mr. Whitney?
Well, I could very well ask the same question, whether or not people who are extremists in the white community would communicate better with all of the people in this country if they agreed with the Christian gentlemen in the white community or those who are leaders in the modern groups. What I'm saying basically is that you have extremists in the white community who have served a purpose. We have extremists in our group who have served a purpose. And I just don't believe that we can say to Stokely Carmichael and Rap Brown that you must follow certain kinds of philosophies or practices. We don't have to agree with them, but we certainly can't dictate to them any more than anybody else what they can or cannot do. We don't have to follow them. We don't agree with them, certainly, on the things that they say, but this is supposedly a free democracy, and they have a right to do so as long as they don't take away the rights of other people.
And,
I think this is basically the rights that they have, as long as they are willing to suffer the consequences of doing the kinds of things that they advocate, then I think that we can't dictate to them what they should or should not do.
Okay, let me be at ease and call you Jackie, because that's what I used to call you.
Well,
plenty of time for you.
Well, that's very fine. Thank you very much for calling.
Just keep up the good work.
We'll do the best we can.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, sir. This is Night Call in New York, area code 212-749-3311. That's our national telephone number, and of course you may call Collect. That's area code 212-749-3311. Our local telephone number in New York is 866-5010. That's 866-5010. Our guest tonight is Mr. Jackie Robinson, and we'll accept our next call from Brooklyn, New York, Mr. Lewis, who's listening to Night Call over radio station WLIB-FM. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Good evening, Dale. Good evening, Mr. Robinson.
Good evening.
In recent weeks, I've been reading the papers, you know, and it happens to be the only way that we can get any information as regards what's going on in the country.
Right.
But I have been I've been very annoyed by the tone of the reports that have been in the newspaper and on the radio. For example, just a few days ago, I was listening to a radio report on the goings-on in Resurrection City in Washington. And the tone of the report was such that the permit expired, therefore, certain peoples in the area rioted and burned down some houses and threw rocks at the police, and that was it. But they didn't get down to the immediate cause of this behavior. In other words, they didn't say the riots were started when such and such happened. They only said the people got up and they began to throw rocks. Now, I refuse to believe a report like that, and I think that there are perhaps more details that the press could offer in order to present a clearer picture of what goes on in certain areas.
Well, I certainly do agree that we basically get just the highlights of what happened because of time limitations. I think this is very unfortunate because we don't really get the true picture of what's going on. I think in some instances, in this case, though, we could be very fortunate that we didn't get the true picture of what was going on. I'm very much impressed with the things that the Poor People's March had intended to do, and I'm grateful that we had men with the kind of leadership ability that would follow through with the program that they started. However, from some of the reports and some of the things that went on, we sometimes are concerned about what does really go on in these different situations, and we're looking for much fuller reports, and certainly we're looking for a kind of leadership that, and it's almost impossible, that can step in and try to fill the shoes of Dr. Martin Luther King. I think this is really one of the big tragedies that we have. We are constantly losing those who have made such fantastic contributions to the social progress in this country. I think, in my view, the loss of Dr. Martin Luther King, though many people disagree with me, was perhaps the most tragic loss that black Americans have had in many, many a moon. Even more so, in my view, than the loss of great leadership like President Kennedy and the Senator, because Dr. King's force and his abilities among our people were something that I don't think anybody can match. And I hate to see this kind of loss, because a young man like this, when he comes around, once in I don't know how many hundreds of years, and therefore our leadership has been, I think, lacking since his death, and I do hope that when we are able, as you say, to get the full picture of what's going on, it might change attitudes and might get people to truly understand the frustrations. What I think is being said is that the only thing we talk about is the riots. We don't talk about the reasons why. We don't talk about the tremendous frustrations that are swelling up in our youngsters, and we don't recognize that in the black area, the youngsters are tremendously concerned, and they're not afraid to express themselves. And as a matter of fact, they're not afraid to make that supreme sacrifice, because you hear many of them saying constantly that I'm not afraid to die here fighting for the kinds of freedom that we are supposed to go over to seas to fight for when we really don't have it here at home.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we have to depart momentarily for station identification. And Mr. Lewis, we thank you so much for calling.
Not at all.
Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Jackie Robinson after station identification. Listen to the voices of Night Call.
Prophet Isaiah says, your cities are burning because there is injustice in your land, and the Lord will not hear you because your hands are full of blood. Now, I will interpret that to say the United States is on fire, its cities are burning because there's injustice in the land, and the Lord above will not hear the cries of people like Lyndon Baines Johnson because his hands are full of blood.
Stokely Carmichael quotes the Bible in support of militancy. And a National Guard commander says ballots, not bullets, are the best ammunition.
I think you have a tremendous power in the democracy of the ballot box. It's much stronger than bullets. You do have the ballot box, which is far stronger than any sort of suppression.
Night Call, the new nationwide call-in show on vital issues, each weeknight on this station. Speak for yourself, collect on Night Call, area code 212-749-3311, or in New York City, 866-5010, to Jackie Robinson about Is the Church a Joke? Again, Del Shields.
And Mr. Robinson is on the line calling in from Connecticut. And Mr. Robinson, just before we take some additional Night Call listeners who are standing by from Portland, Oregon and Steubenville, Ohio, I'd like to pose this question to you. Hasn't the church in the black community been used as what we might call a tranquilizer to kind of drug our people?
That's a very fine way to put it, but I don't know whether or not we can say that this is really true in the major areas or in the greater numbers of places. I think that over the years, the church was a place where the black person would go to find security and find peace, and it was a sanctuary to him. Here of late, there have been incidents where the churches are no longer a haven for black people. The whites would burn up and bomb up a church in Birmingham, Alabama, where youngsters are attending Sunday schools, or because people would congregate in churches, they are burned down and they are fired into, and the lives of ministers have been snuffed out because of their willingness to associate with the struggle. So I just don't know whether you can say the majority of the churches are involved in this manner, but it is a way of putting it, certainly. And as a matter of fact, I think it's a good tranquilizer, very frankly, that if we could get more and more people under the influence of this kind of thinking and this kind of attitude, we'd be in a much better position.
Well, there are a number of black youth who seem to feel that they don't want to wait to go to heaven. They'd like to have a little heaven here on earth.
Right. That's no question about it. That's basically what they're saying. And that's why I think we pointed out that the church has not, in the eyes of the young person, really fulfilled for them the kind of things that are necessary. So I would have to agree that this is what the youth is saying, and that this is why his willingness to make, if necessary, that supreme sacrifice.
We welcome our caller from Portland, Oregon, Mr. Corcoran, who's listening to Night Call over KLIQ. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Yes, I'd like to congratulate you on your fortitude for being the first Negro to break into a major entertainment activity in, on a national level. And this is not directly related to churches. My question isn't, but this is a problem that has been on my mind for some time.
Yes.
Negroes have been subjugated and subdued. And now, to achieve recognition, they are resorting to violence, which is creating quite a bit of backlash, admittedly within myself and within other people. And yet, when I view it emotionally, I dislike it. When I view it intellectually, I don't know what else they can do. They haven't been assimilated like the Irish or the Germans. Do you have any other alternative to this in mind?
Well, first of all, I think you got to take in consideration that the great percentage of the black person is not interested in violence or not interested in rioting, but they are interested in making their problems known and make their presence felt. It has been shown to many of us that the white person only really understands the Molotov cocktail and the sniper's bullet and the hurled brick. And therefore, to gain prominence, to gain some recognition, they have resorted to this kind of tactic. Now, I am opposed to violence as anybody listening in here tonight. I don't think it solves our problem. But I must admit, the things that have gone on have projected us in a position today where that we're being listened to now, where businesses are beginning to start doing things to help our youngsters find the kind of jobs that are necessary. Civil rights bills have been enacted to force or to make people understand things that are going on. We have to admire and respect the courage of our young people that are awakening the conscience of our American people.
In other words, you have to admire the courage it takes to be violent.
Well, I have to admire the courage that it takes to achieve in this country, because let's face it, this country was born by violence. It was born by revolution. And
right,
the only
right.
problem today is that when the black person decides that he is going to achieve his rights in basically the same way in which people came from all over this world of ours to this country because they didn't like the kind of persecution and kinds of discrimination that they felt in their own home. They came here to this country.
I'm afraid I have to agree with you. I was hoping you would have a third alternative.
Well, I don't know what that alternative is unless you and I and other white and black people throughout this country really and truly want to have the kind of society which we thought we were coming to this country for.
People don't.
People don't, that's right. And there is such tremendous frustration in the minds of the black person that he is about ready to say, you've got to listen to my cries. You've got to understand my frustrations. If you don't, there's only one way I know how to get you to truly understand this. Now, these things to me don't really solve. Their temporary victories, they're not lasting, and therefore that's the reason why we hate to see them. But you must admit that violence in the street, the flaming buildings, and the sniper's bullet has caused more and more people to take a second look and try to do something. And black person here really wants to be a part of the American society, but he's not willing to be the doormat any longer. He wants not that hamburger in that lunch counter alone. He wants the saucer. He wants the seat, the lunch counter as well. He wants a piece of the action rather than just going in and getting the hamburger, the hot dog in the sand. He wants more than that, and he's demanding it. I think more and more our people in power are understanding this and doing whatever they possibly can to help. I believe sincerely that we're on our way, that we've got a chance to really prove that we are the kind of nation that we are supposed to be. And if we continue to, I think we can, but it has to be done, as I said in my speech to the church people out there, it has to be done by dedicated Americans who really want the kind of society that we have tried to build.
Yes, I know. I was
Mr. Cochran,
in a wealthy section of the country recently, and I drove by some very expensive apartment houses and yachts on a lake, and I thought that I didn't have those, but that I could sometime, possibly, and then I thought that if I were a Negro, I wouldn't even have the hope.
Yeah.
But I was wondering if you think that violence might not create so much of a backlash that it would set us back.
Well, it's a possibility, but, you know, when you're black and you have been held down for 340 years, you wonder how far it can set you back, because we don't believe that we've made that much progress that we could be set back. As a matter of fact, although I am very much opposed to violence, I think violence has projected us a lot more, a lot further than any other thing. And now that this stage is passed, we hope that we don't have to face it again. I hope that the American conscience has been awakened enough that our young people will not have to make the supreme sacrifice. And too many of them are being scarred for life because of the activities in the street. And this is, in my view, no way to solve it. But when you are denied constantly, based simply on skin coloring, then something must give, and these youngsters have just given notice to all concerned that they are unwilling to accept the status quo.
Okay, Mr. Robinson, I appreciate it. You're a very articulate man, much more articulate than I thought, and you've done very well. I appreciate having the opportunity of talking to you.
You're very kind. Thank you.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Goodbye.
This is Night Call in New York. Our guest is Mr. Jackie Robinson, and I'd just like to add just a kind of a footnote to what Mr. Robinson was saying, and to Mr. Cochran, who was concerned about the violence. It seems to me that if we would think in terms of the millions of people who are not involved in the violence and attempt to do something for these black people who are trying to do something constructive, we wouldn't have to worry about the minority who are...
That's right. It would inspire these to believe they have a chance. Too frequently, the young black person in the ghetto takes a good look at what happened to Thurgood Marshall, even with the support of the President of the United States, was subjected to all kinds of abuse simply because he was appointed to the Supreme Court judge, to become a Supreme Court judge. And that young black person in the ghetto says, Jesus, if this can happen to Thurgood Marshall, what chance do I have? So I think that we've got to truly understand that we need symbols. We need people to be able to move forward without worrying as to whether they're going to be involved in a big controversy simply because of skin coloring.
Mr. Robinson, we'll welcome Father Gus Taylor from Steubenville, Ohio, who's listening to Night Call over radio station WAMO-FM. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Hello, Jackie.
Fine. How are you, sir?
I tell you, you know, I never thought I'd be have the chance of speaking with you. You never know these days.
Yes, it's kind of easy with this new media, being able to go into different homes and different cities and bring live to live conversation like
that. You know, it's really great, though. It really is a good talk with you. You know, I was very interested in what you had to say. You know, they mentioned I'm Father Gus Taylor. I'm down here in a very called Steubenville, Ohio.
I've heard of it, yes. Yeah, sure.
You've heard of it.
Oh, sure.
And I happen to be one of the rare oddities of being a black Catholic priest.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, you know, I was very interested in what was said, and there's so much for me to say, but I'm keeping it pretty symmetrical. I know the program wants it that way. But, you know, I was in Virginia recently talking to a black military academy down there. And I was bringing across a lot of the ideas that were expressed by you and maybe some of the other ones down there about just on the idea of just black power and the American Christ, you know. And you know, we're talking about getting ourselves together and how much the white man is there. You know, it appeared to me when I was giving the talk, this is the first time in my life when I really came hard down on black power. This is the first time in my life I've ever had people to walk out of my sermon. And these were so-called black people.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just weren't buying this idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I'm really for, you know, black power. I mean, not just as a kick, not because the people talk about it, but because I'm really, the more I think about it, the more I read about it, especially after reading Stokely's book, Stokely and Charles Hamilton's book, it seems to me right now the best idea we've got going, you know. But many of our own people aren't ready for this. What do you think?
Well, I too am very much in favor of black power, but I think we have to interpret what we mean, and as far as I'm concerned, black power is...
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Would you be kind enough, and Father Taylor, just to hold your definitions of black power for just a moment, and we'll depart for station identification, then we'll return. Father Taylor, please stay on the line.
All right.
Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Jackie Robinson after station identification. Listen to the voices of Night Call.
We're trying to bring about change in this nation through nonviolent channels. Now, if we cannot do it through nonviolence, there are other forces that are going to lead people down a violent path, and the nation will be destroyed.
Ralph Abernathy on apathy and violence. And a white industrialist says jobs will save us from a racial inferno.
It's better to learn and earn than to burn, baby, burn. Now, these are the changes in attitude that spring from the community as a whole to try to work with these people, not just work on them, and to have industry reach into the area and try to recruit and hire the guy that's qualified and to get the other fellow to take training so he, too, can get a job.
Speak for yourself on Night Call. Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call. Area code 212-749-3311 or New York phone 866-5010 to Jackie Robinson about Is the Church a Joke? Again, Del Shields.
And we welcome the various stations who join us for the second half hour of Night Call. Our guests, Mr. Jackie Robinson, calling in from Connecticut, and on the line from Steubenville, Ohio, his father, Gus Taylor. Mr. Robinson, you were just about to go into the definition of, or your concept of black power.
Yeah. Well, I was saying that I agree that we do need black power, but we had to define what we meant by it. My definition of black power is simply the wise use of our economic strength. If we take a look around, nothing changes the bigot more than taking away that dollar that we earn, and if we spend it wisely, black people in this country make about $30 billions of dollars, and many businesses are really taking a good look at this at this point. And if we demand from them that they give as much in return for our dollar, then we're going to be able to get a little bit more. Second definition would be the wise use of our tremendous voting power, that we are basically the balance of power in practically every election. What makes me believe that I'm right more now is William Buckley, a conservative. I don't like to call a man a bigot, but I don't know whether I can go that far or not, but he certainly makes me believe that this is what he is.
Yeah.
Is writing today in the paper here the fact that I have said that I will support Nelson Rockefeller, Republican, for the presidency, but if the Republican Party says to me that I don't want your vote by nominating Richard Nixon, then I'm going to go over and support the Democratic Party, even though I think the two-party system is the key to solving our problems. Wise use of our dollar, the growth and development of the two-party system. But to see Mr. Buckley rattled and disturbed because we are not going to support or go back to the same kind of thinking that we got in 1964. Kind of makes me feel good, and I feel that if we are able to stir up the William Buckleys and those of his ilk, that we're on our way. And I hope that people will understand we want to support people because of their abilities to help the greater number of people, but we also are going to demand that they want us as well. So I think these are the reasons why I think that if we use our ballot wisely and our buck wisely, that we really will have the true meaning of black power.
And it's also, I think, political too. And when people get hung up just on that expression, black power, and you know, and start imagining all sorts of things, I usually just say I'm talking about it in the sense that Stokely Carmichael and Charles Hamilton talk about it in their book.
Yeah.
And that pretty well claims it. But you know, getting more immediately to what we were talking about, just the idea about the churches.
Yeah.
And this, you know, our Christian Negro people, to me, just about the most brainwashed. You know, and I was, you know, I'm, this is not from the outside throwing a stone. You know, on the,
yes.
I was one of them.
Yes. Uh-huh.
We're brainwashed. You know, this American version of Christ and Christianity, you know, I'm beginning to really see, you know, that it's a real farce. Not Christ himself is not a farce, Christianity itself, but the version that we've been fed all these years.
Father Taylor.
You go into the churches.
Father Taylor. May I ask a question? You say that the black people have been very brainwashed. Would you consider that the white man has also been brainwashed in terms of the version of Christianity? Or are you saying that the black man is more brainwashed?
Well, but see, the thing about it is that he brainwashed himself where we have been brainwashed by him.
I see.
Do you follow what I'm trying to hit
at? Right. We were the black man was the recipient.
Right. Whereas the white man, I'm talking in general terms, you know, I don't mean every white man without exception, you know, but the white man himself has fed us. You know, this, for example, when you go in your churches, and what do you see? Even in our own black churches, you see this, you know, blonde, blue-eyed Christ with long, wavy hair and with a halo around his head, you know, looking so meek and genteel and all this, you know. And he almost makes us ashamed of our own selves. Our kinky hair, you know,
of our own features. You know, he almost makes us ashamed to say or even to think that black is beautiful. You know.
Well, Father, on this one, I feel very strongly in my religious belief. I don't profess to be the greatest Christian in the world, but I was certainly raised by my wonderful mother, late mother, on the principles that God practiced and preached and all the things that went with it. And, you know, I feel very, very strongly about it. Certainly shouldn't make any difference if we believe in God, what color that man's skin is up there with a halo. If we believe in his teachings and his practices and all, I don't think it should make that much difference. You are basically right, however, when you say we have been brainwashed. But I think that what we've got to do is to really take a look at what is said, what's behind it, why true Christians are projecting the Bible and its meaning, and hopeful that more and more people will follow its teachings and its practices.
This is what has been distorted, you know. This is what I think has been distorted.
Uh-huh.
You know, they say that when we want, like, for example, they say, you Christian Negroes, when you want something, do it nonviolently now, you know, be patient, be gradualist. And yet, what is our attitude towards other countries, you know?
Yeah.
When we want to crush insurrection.
Yeah, no question.
We're not nonviolent in that.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you mean, but the only thing I'm saying is that whether Jesus, God, or what have you, was yellow, green, black, or white.
He's still God.
Right.
But the version that they give us,
right?
You know, if God was white, if Jesus Christ was, you know, was pale as a sheet,
yeah,
I would still worship him because I knew he's Christ.
Right.
But the fact is that he's white in the values that he upholds, that mm-hmm. they seem to make him uphold. Do you follow what I'm trying to get?
Yeah, but
Father Taylor.
Yes.
We're getting ready to get really deeply involved, and we enjoy talking with you, but we have so many other calls.
Right.
Thank you so much for calling, sir.
Taylor, it's nice to talk with you.
Okay. Look. Thank you, Dr. Jackie.
Right.
Thank you, sir. This is NyCall in New York. Our national telephone number is area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. You may call Collect. We welcome your conversations, your comments. And, of course, you'll have a chance to talk with our guest tonight who's calling in from Connecticut, Mr. Jackie Robinson. Our local telephone number in New York is 866-5010. That's 866-5010. Mr. Robinson, we welcome our next call from Madison, New Jersey. Mr. Edmund Thomas is listening tonight call over WLIB-FM. Welcome tonight call, sir.
Thank you very much. Well, first I'd like to say, well, I'm 13 years old, and I'm Negro.
You're how old?
13.
13. Mm-hmm. Right, go ahead.
And sometimes I think how naive some Negro kids are that live in my neighborhood. They don't care what's going on around. And I just think it's so naive of them. And I don't.
What do you mean that they don't know what's going on around them?
I think, basically speaking, are you talking about the fact that they are somewhat secure within their own selves because of where they're living and how they're living, and they're not aware of the total picture?
Well, they really, they don't know what's going on in the world.
That's what I mean, yes.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of security. We have moved to certain parts of New Jersey or certain parts of Connecticut, and we have a security within ourselves because we are not really affected by what's going on outside of our little community, and therefore we don't get involved.
Mm.
And I can buy this 1,000%. We see it day in and day out, although because we do move to other areas doesn't necessarily mean that we have divorced ourselves from the problem. Many, many people who live out of the ghetto areas and other communities have constantly been involved in it, but I sure buy what you're saying about too many of us being naive, too many of us feeling secure without really having any basis for it, because if we look around at what happens, we know that regardless of the position we are in life, we are not really free until the most underprivileged, the most denied Negro is really free. Nat King Cole was one good example when they went to Birmingham, Alabama, when he was alive, to sing, you know, how to think he knows best. But Nat was beaten up because he tried to sing before an integrated audience. Or Lena Horne out in Los Angeles when she was heckled and abused at a nightclub simply for going out wanting to enjoy herself, being a Negro subjected to the same kinds of abuses. Or Willie Mays in San Francisco being denied the opportunity of buying a house where he could afford. So those people who take this attitude and those people who are first to yell when somebody else wants to move in really don't have the kind of security. And this is why, you know, this question from a 13-year-old makes me so secure and making me understand that our future is in pretty good hands when we have this kind of thinking and this kind of attitude. And I think they're going to change quickly much of the problems that we have.
Edmund,
mm-hmm.
Do you attend church?
Well, yes, I do.
Well, how do you feel about church? Do you feel the church is doing anything to help the black youth?
Well, our particular church is Baptist, and well, it's just but all Negro. And well, they don't really get themselves very much involved. They have a preacher there who's he's saying just about the same things that Mr. Robinson's saying about the situation.
Thank you so much for calling. Thank you. This is Night Call in New York, area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. That's our national telephone number, and of course you may call collect. And our local telephone number in New York is 866-5010. That's 866-5010. We'll accept our next call locally, Mr. Robinson. Mr. Reginald Brown is listening to Night Call over WLIB-FM. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Yes. I'd like to say that I think it's a sad thing that Jackie Robinson, you seem to be quite aware of what the situation is, and I think it's a sad, very sad thing that you're spending most of your time trying to get a white man elected to be president.
You think it's sad, huh?
Yes.
Well, that's your opinion. I don't know what else I can be doing.
Well, I think you could be helping your people.
Well, I'm doing the best I can, sir. What are you doing?
Well, I'm doing the best I can, but it doesn't involve me being trying to boost some white man's, you know, his plans for his, you know, he wants to be king of the world, because that's apparently what Rockefeller wants to be, because I see, like, for instance, he has, you know, diamond fields in South Africa,
oh, now,
you know.
Come on now. Let's not start that, because you don't know what you're talking about.
I do know what I'm talking
well,
about.
Well, where did you hear this?
I've read this.
Where'd you read it?
I read it in newspapers.
What newspapers?
I read it in the SNCC newsletter.
In the SNCC newsletter. Go ahead.
I read it in other revolutionary papers.
In other revolutionary. And where do they get it from?
They get the information from reliable sources.
Yeah, and you know,
I mean, Farce, I can't give you an answer that would satisfy the white press. I mean, you know, if that's what you want, I can't give you
I'm
that.
I'm not trying to satisfy
answer.
The white press. I
Mr.
just
Brown.
Want to understand that you're telling a lie. He doesn't have diamond mines in South Africa. He has no interest personally in South Africa.
Well, what interest?
Mr. Brown? Wait, Mr.
Well,
Brown?
I like the
yes,
man.
Wait, Mr.
Like
Brown and
man,
Mr. Robinson?
Frankly, I don't have to. Well, let me say this to him, Mr. Shields. I don't hate all white people.
No, I didn't
I think
say
they're
you
decent
did.
White people. I think there are bad black people and there are bad white people. And I go off and I support people based on what they do as individuals. I think Governor Rockefeller happened to be one of the great men in this country. And because you don't like it will not change me from going out and supporting the guy that I think can do the most for the greater number of people in this country.
First of all, I didn't
Wait,
say
gentlemen, that. Please, we have to depart for station identification. And Mr. Brown, you may stay on the line. And we'll return to you.
Sure.
This is the Night Call Network. Stay tuned.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Jackie Robinson after station identification. Listen to the voices of Night Call.
Large numbers of black people in this country are coming to the point where almost no action, violent or nonviolent, legal or illegal, is looked upon as being the sort of action that will help. And I think that's a dangerous point for us, where we reach the point where nothing is likely to help us. And it means, I think, almost the beginning of suicide.
Julian Bond, a black politician, is pessimistic, and a white ethics professor has faith.
I don't agree. We're all upset. In spite of the many faults of the white people, I think there's a strong reservoir of compassion in a lot of white people in this country, and a strong desire to see that the black man does get his rights.
These voices, plus your own voice of question or comment, are Night Call. Speak for yourself. Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call, area code 212-749-3311, or in New York, 866-5010, to Jackie Robinson about Is the Church a Joke? Again, Del Shields.
And we return to our guest, Mr. Robinson, who is in Connecticut and talking to us over the phone, and we were also talking to Mr. Reginald Brown right here in New York. And just before we return to Mr. Robinson, Mr. Brown, I would like to say this in being moderator of the show, that first, Mr. Robinson certainly does not need me personally or any of us to defend him nor what he has done. I would like to say this, though. I think, being a black man, that we must think in terms of the people who have done so much and who have given so much. I think Mr. Robinson stands out as not only a great American, but he stands out as a great black man for the many, many contributions and his achievements. Now, if it is his personal choice to endorse a particular candidate, this is what the system is.
Yes, I would like to say something. Now, allow
me to finish, please. Now, the second thing is that we do have a system. We have a political system, and we have a system whereby people are nominated for an office. Now, either we change the system or we become involved in the system so that the system can kind of work for us. But let us not put down the brothers who have really done a magnificent job. Now, Mr. Robinson?
Well, I just want to say, you know, very frankly, that I can understand Mr. Brown's frustrations, but I think that if we don't get out and support Governor Rockefeller, we'd be left with Richard Nixon.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say this. I did not, you know, desire to call to get on the phone and criticize you. I didn't want you to take it in that way because, I like to finish explaining myself because I see how, you know, by the way you answered just what you thought of my remarks. I'm trying to say is that I wouldn't even get on the radio and criticize another brother or another sister. Regardless, I mean, I wouldn't do that because that would satisfy what white people want for us,
Brown,
you know.
May I say this? I think the time has come, Mr. Brown, where that if you feel strongly enough about something, you've got to criticize. We can't, just because our skin happens to be black, just let wrong go without being critical, because if you feel that I'm doing something wrong and you don't ever criticize me for it, I'll continue.
I'm not criticizing you in a derogatory sense. The reason I want this cleared up is because there are a lot of brothers and sisters that I know would also like to know and would benefit by, you know, finding out just what is the story on this, because there are so many people who are deceiving our people. There are so many ways, like the white man will, for instance, spread a lie about a particular person, and then all the people will be mistrustful of that person, and that person could be at a time very useful to us, but because he has been, you know, labeled as, you know, do not trust or do not go near, this also hinders our cause.
Right.
But like I said, I still maintain the fact that I would not get on a nationwide station with the purpose of criticizing a person of my race, whether I felt they were ultra super tall, because I would not want the white man to know that we do have a grievance, because this is one of the things that we have been doing that I think black people should stop doing, is exposing their grievances.
Well, let's return to the original statement that you made.
Sure.
You had mentioned that you had read in
about
one of the SNCC papers that Mr. Rockefeller owns gold mines or something?
Diamond mines,
right. Yeah. And Mr. Robinson has said no.
We have asked the governor about this, and I must say that the Rockefellers have vast interests for I don't know how many years all over this world. And I'm not saying that members of the Rockefeller family do not have investments in South Africa. I think Chase Manhattan Bank has a bank in South Africa. But this is another part of the family. It's not the governor. He says, I have no personal interest in any business in South Africa. And I have seen no proof that he has personally, but because the name Rockefeller is there, and I think that you must know, they do have vast interests all over the world, and I don't see how in the world that we can sadism.
Do you accept that, Mr. Brown?
Well, I believe that Governor Rockefeller, his family has something to do with this bank. There's no way of really proving one way or the other, but like I would tend to think so because of the information that, you know, seems to prove itself about white people. And what I just said, I know you have many other calls, so I just wanted to address my remarks to one other thing that Mr. Robinson said.
Yes.
And this is concerning the fact that if Richard Nixon got the nomination, you would vote Democratic.
I certainly will. I got to do it.
I observed Humphrey when he was speaking before an all-black audience, and he made statements similar to the fact that, well, I know you're grieving, and I know why, you know, you burn in the streets, and it's time that America moves so that we can settle this thing. And then he was out in somewhere out in the Midwest. I think he was back in Minnesota, and he spoke to the crowd. He said, I'm glad to get back here where a person can walk safe in the streets, where there's no crime in the streets. And see, what he was doing, he was playing both sides of the fence there. A lot of people don't know how to observe political events, but what he was saying was that, yeah, I'm for stopping the crime in the streets, too, for getting the tanks out there when they mess up, and getting these stoner rifles that go through, inches of cement, and they shoot them, at people. And this is what the Detroit police have. This is, this idea of we're going to repress this thing. We're going to keep them down. We're not going to change the elements. We'll get them into the National Guard. These are the type of things that the two-party system does, and I think it's very close to impossible for the black man to get away, get anywhere if he has to go by this two-party system, because I don't see where it's set up to do anything for us. All I see that it's done is to help keep us down.
The one-party system is the thing that has bothered us. We have voted too long for the Democratic Party, and they have denied, in my view, to us our rights. They haven't fulfilled all their promises, and if we keep them guessing, since we do have a system in this country, if the black person decided that I'm not going to vote simply because a man is a Democrat or he's a Republican, I'm going to vote for him because he is a man, then I think we can change attitudes because this political system is so powerful and so strong, and they want to control both parties. If they knew that our vote was not in the Democratic ranks, and they knew that it was as important as we know it is, I think there would be a lot of different things happening. So it isn't the two-party system that caused this. It's a fact, in my opinion, that we have for so long in our group been party only to one of the political parties, and it has been, in my view, very much our downfall. That's why I would like to support the Republican Party, but only if the Republican Party wants me and my vote. I will not go with anyone who will say to me that you must take a man regardless of whether he's going to help the black person or not as your candidate, and you've got to go vote. Well, that's a lot of baloney. I'm going to vote for the man, be he Republican or Democrat.
Mr. Robinson,
supporting Governor Rockefeller.
Mr. Robinson and Mr. Brown, you took us out of the church. So we only have a few more moments.
Well,
Mr. Brown,
Mr. Shields did bring out some very important points, and he certainly challenges you, and I think this is what our youth is doing today more and more.
Right. Mr. Brown, thank you so much for calling, sir.
Thank you.
We'll accept our next call from South Bend, Indiana, and Mrs. Nesbitt is listening to Night Call over WSBT-FM. Welcome to Night Call.
Good evening. Hello, Mr. Robinson. How are you?
Very well, thanks. And you?
Mr. Robinson, about this issue about the people dropping from church and not attending churches, they should. Don't you think it's a fail in the ministry and the leadership of church?
There's no question about it. I think that there has been too many of our leaders in the church who don their robes on Sunday and make all the fine gestures on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and the rest of the week. They aren't interested in the brotherhood of man. It's easy to talk on Sunday, but it's much more important to work during the rest of the week. I sure agree with the leadership has failed in this area.
Yes, this is true. And also, don't you feel that a lot of the people are saying that it is communist, and they are talking about Stokely Carmichael and Wyatt H. Brown. They're so this and they're so that. And don't you feel that these young men has grown up and they can read and they can understand what they're reading? And from the Bible, it teaches you that how can you love God, say that you love God when you've never seen and then hate your fellow man? Now, this has been shown, proven, and the children are growing up. They're not afraid to speak out. And these are the children of the parents of my generation who are 100% behind them. Because during the time when I was a young girl growing up, I had the same problem. All things, our people didn't stand up for us. It's we're standing up for our children today.
Right. Uh-huh.
Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Righto. Thank you.
We have time for just one more short call, and we'll accept this from St. Petersburg, Florida. Mr. Peters is listening to Night Call over WFLA. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, Mr. Peters. Go ahead.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Well, listen, Mr. Robinson, I have been listening, and they maligned lots of things. They maligned the church, and what's wrong, in my estimation, is what the President Commission reported. We white people are practically in the same position morally as Sodomia was in biblical times. And therefore, you see, while the church at the top, they understand those things. They are removed from us. Therefore, they always dictate the right things. But the local, on the local level, they are afraid of us,
mm-hmm.
you see.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole trouble. And therefore, there are lots of paperwork.
Mr. Peters?
To be done by people
Mr. Peters,
like you.
We want to thank you for calling, but...
Me too, I do.
Mr. Peters, we want to thank you for calling, but our time has run out.
All right,
thank you so much,
sir.
He's right, what he said.
Thank you. Mr. Robinson, we want to thank you so much for being our guest tonight on Night Call.
You do a very fine job. It's a pleasure to have been with you.
Thank you. This is Del Shields in New York. Good night,
Night
and peace.
Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station. Professor Kenneth Clark, the man who did much of the work that led to the Supreme Court desegregation decision. He says nowadays, integration is out of date. Listen tomorrow night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, and National Urban Coalition.